I have this lesson to teach this morning, and by the way, business meeting next Tuesday, not this coming Tuesday, but the next Tuesday night, the 23rd, regular church time. I have this lesson to teach this morning, and I will be open with you. A lot of times I won't be honest with you. Well, I want you to be honest all the time. I won't be open with you. I wanted you to work on this some more and teach it next Sunday, but I'm going to tell you why I'm teaching it this Sunday. I don't have anything else to teach. The Lord didn't give me anything else. I ran out of time. And I said, okay, Lord, I tell you, you didn't give me anything else. I'm going back to what you gave me a week or so ago. So this morning, God knows who's going to be here, right? You know, who's not going to be here. He knows who needs to hear it. Amen. So this morning, I'll read one verse of Scripture in your reading. I'll get to teaching this lesson. Romans 8 and 35. I'm going to go back to it a little bit later. But this is a very powerful verse from a very torn man, but strong man named Paul. He said, who shall separate us? You might want to look at each other and you might want to look at your wife. And what's going to separate us? What would separate you? Well, he said, concerning Christ, he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he offers some questions of maybe shall it be tribulation or distress? Maybe it's persecution or famine, nakedness or peril, or even the sword. What shall divide us? Even the sword. I wonder this morning, as you maybe have companions with you, what would separate you? What would divide you? Concerning the love of Christ, he mentions these terrible things, these stressful things. And we'll get the answer to that shortly. I want to talk to you this morning about the truth in bonding. The truth in bonding. Lord, I come before you this morning asking for your guidance and your help. Lord, help me to articulate the words and the thoughts you should give me, Lord. Let it be expressed in your, for your glory and for your honor in their hearing in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The truth in bonding. Some of you, if you've ever gotten a loan before, you've heard of the term the truth in lending. And they in 1968, the United States law designed this law to promote truth forthcoming, to full disclosure of what the cost is associated with this loan you're fixing to get. What are the terms of this loan? What would it take to get out of this loan? And it wants you to know before you sign this, what are the terms and how is it going to affect me if I change my mind? So I want to take that kind of thought and talk about the truth in bonding. And I want to teach you the terms and the cost of bonding with somebody or even bonding with the Lord. Abraham couldn't make it this morning, but I'll tell you, he'll say, I should have never bonded with Hagar. I should have never, and he bonded with the bondswoman. And there was a terrible outcome to that. So I want to talk to you about the truth in bonding. A bond is simply anything that holds something else together. It just brings it together. It doesn't mean it's strong. It doesn't mean it just means it's holding it together. It can be a verbal contract. Just, brother, I'll meet you there. Or if you told me you're going to meet me there at 7, don't come at 8. That bonded me to believe that you're what you said you would do. It can be a verbal contract. It can be a written agreement. You know what? Do you really know what the United States government offers you with a marriage? It's called a written contract. That's why if you get a divorce, they go back to the contract, and they go, "This is yours. This is," and they separate. Now, it wasn't so with Adam and Eve. When they got married, there was no justice of the peace. There was no, the Lord didn't say, will you take this? He didn't say all that. Because when they knew each other in the intimate way, he said, they were married. They were married. Because these two, he says, shall become one. And so they were joined together. It can be staples, it can be strings, it can be glue. It can be all kinds of things that hold things together. And when people enter into a marriage, what is it that holds you together? Sometimes they'll say, well, bless God, I'm married, or I'm going to stay with her and all that. That's a terrible marriage. And you know what? It doesn't hold. That contract doesn't hold. Well, we have kids together, and I'm just going to try to bless God. I'm going to make them. That doesn't work either. It doesn't work. What is it that keeps people together? What is it that keeps you coming to church? It's got to be something that you can't see. We've heard many times the saying that a chain is no stronger than what? Its weakest length. So you can take a chain that's got bolts that big around all connected and put a little copper wire between to link them together, and you'll never pull me out of the ditch. I don't care how strong that chain is. If that link is made of a little old copper wire like you put electricity through, it'll never pull me out. It's no stronger than its weakest length. And let me tell you, a bond is no stronger than the relationship between the two things. That relationship is what determines whether a bond will ever stay or not stay. Anything that gets bonded, if it comes, let me use the word unbonded, there is a cost associated with that. You can't bond to something and unbond to it and not pay a price for it. There's always, it's not going, you bond two things together and pull them apart. They're never look the same. It affects the other one. So this morning I want to talk to you, amen, about life and about God. Amen. Those two have to go together. Did you know that? People get out of the church, they forsake God, not because God forsook them, right? They forsake God because they didn't know how to handle the problems of life. So I want to talk to you about three classifications of bonds this morning. Very simple. A weak bond, a strong bond, and a permanent bond. A weak bond, a strong bond, and a permanent bond. Now listen close this morning because I want you to understand that two weak things don't make one strong thing. Two weak bonds will never make one strong bond. The truth in bonding is you need to know the terms and the cost before you bond to anybody or anything. I love dogs, but I know they're going to die. I love dogs. Take that puppy home. Bond with that puppy. Still got to be fed every day. It's going to bark at night. So if you bond to something, there is a price to pay to take care of it. So I just want to give you a visual. I wanted to have time, and this is what I didn't have time to do, so just do it in your mind. If we look at weak bonding, let's take, for example, the glue that kids use, you know, the pasty glue with water in it, and, you know, when it kind of gets dry, you just put a little more water in it, and they use that to glue things together, right? Those, and let's just take, for example, we have two blocks of wood, and we just paint a little bit of the water-based kids' paste on there, and we take another block of wood and put the water-based kids' paste on there, and we put them together, okay? Two weak bonds will not make a strong bond. When you put them together, you may hold them up, you may look at them, but if you ever drop it, if you ever put it under pressure, the bond will break. The bond will break. So, point number one, two weak people will never form a strong bond. Two weak people. I'm not belittling weak. I'm just saying two weak people in the same area will never make the other one strong. And people tend to gravitate with weakness to weakness. Weak people tend to bond through their weakness. They compare their war stories, their scars, their struggles, their mishaps, and things that happened in life. That happened to me. Let me tell you what happened to me. That was their weakest moments. And they share their weakest moments with somebody else's weakest moments. And all of a sudden, there's this magnetic thing that begins to happen. I like you. In fact, I think I love you. And they're bonding through their weakness and not their strength. And they share stories. I can't believe that happened to you. That same thing happened to me. Well, and then they go, well, I don't feel like anybody understands me but you. When that kind of stuff starts, you're bonding through your weakness. Nobody understands me but you. Maybe there's a reason why nobody understands you but him or her. And I feel the same about you. And they bond through their weakness until they begin to struggle. Until they begin to struggle. Until pressure is put on them in the same way it once was put on them earlier. But now they bonded through their weakness. And when you put pressure on that union, it easily separates. It easily separates. The weakness drew them together, but the weakness cannot keep them together. Mark my word. It is a matter of time before pressure comes and they separate again. And when that conflict comes, that bond is easily broken. Now, the good part is, not a lot of damage done. Because it was weak to start with. And then you go, well, that's just another one. And they go do it again and again and again. Somehow I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I don't know. Maybe not. And then you start saying, after that happens, I'll never make that mistake again. But you do. And then you start thinking, well, they're all like that. And it wasn't my fault. Two sick people will not make one well. Two drunks won't make one sober. And two people that are weak should never bond through their weakness. Weak bonds. Now, let's move on to strong bonds. Let's go back to our glue example with the two blocks of wood, if we could, and get that back in your mind. We first had the kid's paste and the kid's paste, and we put them together, and it'll hold for a little while, and it looks good. Put them under pressure, and just they break. But let's take, for example, Elmer's glue and Gorilla glue. Okay. You're familiar with Elmer's glue and Gorilla glue. Can I tell you, they both may read the same on the package to some degree. Bonds to wood, bonds to metal, bonds to plastic, bonds, but they're not the same. But they're both strong, but they're only strong when put with the other one of its same kind. So we'll put a little Elmer's glue on this side, we'll put a little Gorilla glue over here, and we will bring them together. But the package says on the Gorilla glue says, or on the Elmer's glue says, bonds in 5 minutes. But the other one says 24 hours. They're both strong, but they're not equal. They share a lot of properties together. They both would work if you put the same one to the same one. So that if you had Elmer's glue and Elmer's glue, it worked pretty good. And if you had Gorilla glue and Gorilla glue, it would work pretty good. But when you try to take Gorilla glue and Elmer's glue, not the properties, the essential properties do not, cannot coexist. Now it may set, and you may say, you may talk the talk, but you won't walk the walk. Not for very long. Look at us. We should have met 20 years ago. Look at us. And you can talk like, but when the pressure comes and the bond is tested, I've often told people that date, don't never get married till you have an argument. In fact, have two or three of them. Really good knock down, drag out arguments. Because as long as it's, yeah, baby, because the bond must be tested. By and by, the real pressure comes and hits the relationship that involves trust. Trust. Trust is a bonding agent. You trust me? You'll trust me till you don't trust me. That's how long you'll trust me. So I'll trust you in everything. No, you don't. You'll trust me until you don't trust me. And then it'll end. And once trust is broken, you can try to do this all you want to, put it back together. It'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. You can overlook it, act like nothing wrong, but it's never the same. Because in the back of your mind, where's he going? What time? Where's she? Come on. It's quiet in here. It's quiet. And when that trust is broken, it changes your belief and your value system of everything. All men are the same. All women are the same. They're all after the same thing. And it changes the way you view life and things. And now you can't trust anybody. So if you ever bond to somebody, you bring that old bond in with the new bond, and that never works. They'll always tell you, clean off the old glue before you bond. Before you paint, clean thoroughly. Remove all debris. And you bring debris of the past. That's why weak bonds are debris of the past. To debris of the past. And yeah, you can get a little bonded, but it's never going to hold. Point number two. One weak and one strong will not make one strong. You understand it? Let's just say Elmer's glue is weaker than Gorilla Glue. Elmer's glue is good. But it won't strengthen, it'll weaken Gorilla Glue. But Gorilla Glue won't strengthen Elmer's glue. Are y'all with me this morning? Sometimes even strong people are not compatible. They're not compatible. Even though they're strong, they're still not compatible. So that moves me to my third point, the permanent, the non-separable bond. That's what you need in a marriage. That's what you need in relationship with God. Those two areas need an inseparable, if that's such a word, bond. So let's go back to our blocks of wood. You get you some Gorilla Glue. And you put it on this plank of wood, and you get you some Gorilla Glue, and you put it on this plank of wood. So it's Gorilla Glue to Gorilla Glue. And you put those together and follow the instructions. Then after a while, you put it to the test. And guess what? The wood breaks before the bond. Because it's so interacted. It's so compatible. That life can break off on this end and life can break off on that end, but we're staying together. Oh, Lord. No matter what happens, we're staying together. That is the kind of bond you need. They share in their strengths and they compare in their strengths. They help each other. Their product description is the same. It doesn't matter. You can pull this one off the shelf for that. And if it says the same, Gorilla Glue. Gorilla Glue. Takes 24 hours to set. Don't buy the one that says 5 minutes and put it. It needs to say takes 24 hours to set. And when the descriptions are the same, you can bring them together. When the purpose is the same, you can bring things together. But if the purpose is not the same, it will never work. I just need somebody. That's not why you get married. That's not why you have relationships. Because after a while, I've heard it many times, I'd just rather be alone. Wait a minute, you just needed somebody. That's not it. And when trouble comes and they are Gorilla glue to gorilla glue, then what happens is things can break off, but not you. People can leave you, but not you. You'll never leave me. Because you know why? You and I are one. You can't leave me because you and I are one. And that's what he said marriage should be, where the two become one. So compatible that they're inseparable. I can't help it. It's Artie and Martha. Every place you go, it's Artie and Martha. I don't see Pete and Martha. I don't see Artie and Susie either. And you could say, what would separate them? Well, if Brother Artie did, he's not going to do that. Well, if she's not going to do that. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? It's not going to happen. Now, here's my point. When real love, because the gorilla glue of life in marriage and living for God is the thing you can't see, but you can share. It's called L-O-V-E. Real love. Not, she's fine as a Coke bottle. It'll fizz. You don't go by those things. You don't even go by, I just feel like, love is something you know that you love somebody. Now listen close. Someone, you can think you love somebody else, but if they don't love you back, it's Gorilla Glue to Elmer's Glue. When real love meets real love, it is no longer just a bond, it is a fusion. It's a fusion. Now, many of you men know what a fusion is. A fusion, I'll give you the definition, is the melting and blending together to become one. It puts everything so mixed together, you cannot separate it. It can no longer be pulled apart. That is what Christ brought to us, was his love. That if we would reciprocate the same love that he had for us, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate me. Shall perils, shall distress, shall nothing, shall the sword, nothing. Because I am so wrapped up in Christ, because Christ was so wrapped up in me that we have fused together. Hopefully that when you see me, you see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Love is the only thing that is really not separable. Amen. How do you divide love? Point number three. Love is a fusion of like things that can never be separated. Love is a fusion of like things that can never be separated. And the reason I explain the truth in bonding through the example of marriage is because that's what Christ is to us. He is the bridegroom and we are the bride. And we should love him like he loved us. And the reason so many people get out of church, backslide, or whatever the case is, they didn't love God like God loved them. How did God love you? God loved you so much he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also. Before you ever loved him, he already loved you. And no wonder he said, when you want to follow me, you got to follow me like I came after you. I gave up everything in heaven to come down to love you and to save you. If you want to be my disciple, forsake all you've got. And follow me like I did. Come after me like I came after you. And you can't halfway love God. It's not a weak, it's not strong. It's not strong. That's why I said you must love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, or you cannot be my disciple. You cannot. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciple, if you have love one to another. For if any man says, I love God and hate his neighbor, he is a liar. Snap, you're not my disciple. Whew. Lord have mercy. So I close with Romans 8 and 35. Now you know, you have a better picture of this in your mind, why Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? My Paul was a man that loved Christ like Christ loved him. He took a beating and he kept on ticking. Amen. He'd take the licking and keep on ticking. They'd leave him for dead and say, we got rid of the Paul today. He'd be back on the street corner tomorrow. Why? That's the kind of love Christ had for me. And unless two people have the same kind of love, well, I love him in a different way. No, not going to work. We got to love each other in the same kind of way. Now, some people think, let me just throw this in here. Some people think, well, we just don't have a whole lot. We're not a lot of things we have in common. Been married to her 35 years. There's not a whole lot we got in common. She don't go fishing with me. I don't sew with her. She likes to shop sometimes. I don't. She don't like to shop much. But when it gets down to love, see, sometimes you keep looking for things. We're compatible in this. We're compatible. That won't keep you together. But the real love met the real love. And other things have broke off. We're still together. Amen. And loving it. Amen. I told her just the other day. I don't want to get smushy on y'all. I told her the other day. I looked at her. I said, you fulfill me in every way. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you fulfill me in every way. That's what love is about. I said, yeah, but if you ever, I won't do that. If she ever, she won't do that. Love will keep you together. Love says, no, I don't do that. Are y'all understanding me this morning? Oh, my God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Just think about the love that he has for you. And he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution, the pressures that come upon me daily, shall that separate me? Or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long, just like he was. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, just like he was. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, just like he was. Amen. This bond that Christ has for you, the reason people say, well, he just didn't do nothing for me. I served him. You didn't love him. Love him like he loves you. So Paul, he says, here's the deal. He says, I am persuaded. Sometimes you got to do a lot. A salesman wants to sell you something. I don't know about that. Well, watch this. If I could show you a way, and what they're trying to do is persuade you. Well, how much is it? See, he's got you going now. Well, what the value, you're going, how much is it? But it's going to be worth it. Listen, Paul said, I am persuaded. Concerning Abraham, the Bible says he was fully persuaded. There are some people that are almost persuaded, but then there are those that are fully persuaded. And Paul was one of those. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nada, zero, nothing shall separate me from Christ. The truth in bonding is the only real bond that lasts is love. Needy bonds don't last. I just know. Love shared with another to whom you are not bonded to is not love at all. Scripture says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't bond with God and bond with that too. Our love has to be the same kind of love for it to last that Christ had for us. I got to close, but I did bring this. I almost forgot. Y'all got time for one more illustration here? Okay. This might be Gorilla Tape. I don't know. Hold that, Brother Judge. Hold that. Put it over your mouth. No, I'm just picking. Don't. Okay, now, let me show you something. You see how, let me show you about these bonds I just was talking to you about. This bonds to the back of this, but it's not inseparable. It's the same, but it's not the same. It's duct tape, but it's only one side that... But this is the sticky side, and this is the not sticky side. But it still sticks, but not too good, huh? It will work in some cases, but... Now, this is good to get the lint off your clothes. In case you didn't know, you can take this on it. So, thank you. So that, I want to... Ooh, we look like... I need a kid's class here. Ooh, you look like me. I like you. Let's come together and we be friends. We're bonding. No, you're not. Okay, let's turn it around. Oh, I like you. I feel like when I'm with you, I'm so safe. What'd you do that for, you dirty dog? But it stuck. You hear it? Okay. But let's turn this around and put the real thing together. Separate that for me, if you will. I'll be back tomorrow. And it won't. It won't separate. It will not separate. Because it's compatible in every way. This is the kind of love that Christ had for you. Who shall separate me? Go ahead and try. You can't. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? It'll tear apart before it'll come undone. And that's the kind of love, my brothers and sisters, you need to have in marriage, and that's the kind of love you need to have with Christ, an inseparable, permanent bond with Him. God bless you. Take a few minutes for a break. We'll be back for morning worship.